Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris. Welcome, friend. How are you? kind of a downturn there. It's my radio voice, and then there's just me, and just me. So hey, how's it going? As we leave slowly, June 2023 behind in a hail of. Sweaty brows and sweaty palms. I am Chris Ringler, the aforementioned Spooky Chris. Welcome to my podcast. You can find anything you want to know about me that's out there at spookychris.com. I have all my podcasts and blogs and links to all of the books I've put out. I put out a book within the last 3 weeks, I think. Called Black Car, which is a nasty little thriller that I think is pretty cool, and I think maybe a few of you may like it. I hope. We'll see. Give it a chance. You can find all my books on Amazon.com, blah, blah, blah. So, as I get behind the mic again for the first time in a minute, it's interesting, talking to a friend recently, about a kind of an annual, I guess it's a party essentially, but it's essentially the biggest Halloween party you could imagine, the kind of thing that you see in movies, but that generally don't exist. Where it's, you know, takes up most of a building and it's very huge and massive and stuff. And I had never gone to it over the years, and it was funny because I. Back in the way, way back, I was the one that, and I don't even know how I ever found out about it, that it existed, but I passed that info on to other folks, and they became regulars, and I've never been. Because back, you know, back in the day, it was more of a, it was an outside thing, and you showed up, and you brought like a, you could bring a mug, and you paid a price, and you drank as much beer as you could handle, and you dressed up, and blah, 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 and it just wasn't my thing. So I never went. But it was interesting in talking to my friend, just kind of about that that event and kind of the ins and outs. And it's interesting in talking to him how I realized how quickly we kill the things we love, and we almost love them to death, but it's more. It seems like it's more that we just demand more and more and more, like we become insatiable, and nothing is enough to satisfy that hunger. Like, you know, it's not enough that a thing exists. We want it. Okay, great, exists. Well, we want it to be bigger and better. Okay, well, it's bigger and better. And then it's like, well, but then I want it to cater to the whims I have. Not realizing that every other person that is attending whatever it is have their own kind of wish list of things. So as the event grows bigger, as the thing grows bigger, so too must its infrastructure and the mechanisms that keep it alive. So that, you know, something that was small and intimate and you know, kind of just about doing the thing becomes essentially more of a straight up business, and with business there's bureaucracy, and bureaucracy is if nothing can kill passion, it's bureaucracy and fans, because again you start like putting all these demands, and then you get the people that are, you know, that you get the hardcore, you know, ride or dies that are like, I will go to whatever it is, I will do that no matter what, I don't care, I am just in it to win it, ride or die. And then there's the newcomers who are just like, you know, this is pretty cool, I like this, I'm gonna come. And then there's the kind of the late stagers that are kind of like, oh, I heard this is cool, I guess I'm gonna go, but whatever. That they kind of just go to whatever the cool thing is, and they're already over whatever it is before they get there, because it's just kind of what they're kind of like a shark, always has to move, you know, and is always on the lookout for more food. And it's kind of the same thing, as they're always kind of looking for the next cool thing that no one else is doing yet, so they can do it and then kind of move on. You know, and then the old fans get mad because there's new fans, and the new fans are roll their eyes at the old fans because, like, oh, whatever, you used to be cooler when then, whatever, you know. So there's all these kind of weird layers, and everybody wants what they want. And again, like, the bigger you get, the bigger you have to be. And suddenly, something that was able to be run by a person, a couple of people, a handful of people, friends, essentially. You have to reach out to volunteers. And that sounds great because, oh, man, we're doing this cool thing. Everybody's going to want to help out. Yeah, they say they do. And they want the free access. They want to feel special. They want the benefits of that, saying you're a volunteer or whatever. But they don't necessarily want to put the work in of a volunteer. So you're kind of like, oh, okay, so you're not going to do the stuff, or you're not be reliable, but you still want to, you know, still want to come for free and bring your friends and all this other stuff. So it's, you know, and the further away from that initial kind of whatever the circle is, the more you have to trust people, and that gets so scary. Because you have to trust that people aren't in it for themselves, aren't sketchy, aren't going to do something to embarrass themselves, embarrass you, cause you damage, cause the brand damage. It's just so scary and rife with danger that it starts to make, you know, you start to wonder, like, is it worth it? And maybe it is if you're that in love with the idea, or if you're making enough money that's like, that's all right, we're just gonna suffer through this and do it. And I admire folks that can. When we did conventions, you know, we started running into problems because, again, initially everybody wanted to volunteer, like, oh great, because they want to be around celebrities. Well, but not, you know, people that starts to dry up, because everybody likes the idea of something like that more than they like the thing. And it's, again, it's the same thing, and I've obviously hammered on this on and on and on, and just kind of how greedy fans are for exactly what they want. They're like, I want a convention. I want a convention. I want big names. I want big movies. I want all the big things. I want big, big, big. I want, and then I want it to be affordable. And those things they don't work together. If you want a low-do show that's kind of fun, well, you're not going to get those giant, you know, names. If you want a show with a ton of names, you're gonna pay, you know, $35, $40, $50 a day to get in, plus parking, and then whatever everything else costs. So, you know, and we're in at a time where, you know, money is not exactly the easiest thing to come by for everybody. So it's rough. You know, there's a balancing act, and again, I give it up to folks that are able to balance it. And there's huge conventions. There's the corporate conventions that, I mean, they're essentially a corporate entity. So it's a business. There are people that work on it year round. So that's a kind of a different beast. That's like the top of the food chain. And then like the guy who puts on a record show locally, is the bottom, we'll say. Not that one is better than the other inherently, just that those are the two kind of swings you can go in, you know, this biggest and the smallest. But yeah, the more people you involve, the more stress it is, because the more you have to please the fans, please your people, and then kind of watch the store and make sure that the people you're trusting aren't getting themselves or you in trouble. And it's just so much. I can see why people kind of get disinterested in being involved in this stuff. I mean, obviously people still do it. It's like everything, like, you know, how many times, oh, well, no, there's no, you know, there's no one's ever going to make it big as a rock star or as a writer or as a filmmaker, blah, 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 blah. But people still do every day, you know, and they find their own way, or they find a way or whatever. So there's no hard and fast rule that is 100% accurate. But it makes it more and more difficult. to walk the line. And you have to, you know, for me, like there comes a point, it's like, is it worth my investment? Cause I've never, you know, boohoo. I've never made money at this stuff. I always did it because I loved it. As a fan, I wished more people would do this kind of stuff. Wish they did it when I was a kid, they would still do it. Just wish there were more opportunities for everybody. Cause I think that, you know, and it's interesting because I've read kind of some Fangoria editorials online and stuff where it's kind of debating the idea, well, is it a community? Like, is it a community you want to be a part of sometimes, because fans are just, can be so caustic. But, like, whether you want to call it a community or not, it's a gathering. Horror folks can be some of the best people around and so supportive and just so great. And you want to be involved. And it's great, you know, it's great to have that connection. And I love it. Like, I've made so many friends at, you know, doing conventions and all this stuff. I was thinking about it earlier, like, had my folks not helped me put my first book out in 99, I have so many friends I never would have met, so many people I never would have met, had that not happened. And it wouldn't, you know, my life would be different, inherently. And same thing with doing conventions. I've made friends with conventions and stuff and doing all that stuff. And I don't regret it, but it just, for me, it reaches a point where it's like, if folks aren't coming and they don't care and I can't put on the shows that people do want to come to, you know, it seems as if there's a message being sent, and luckily, our group never really ran into major issues. I had at one of our conventions, I had to kind of talk to, I think the first one, talk to a guy because he had solicited one of our photographer / volunteer person. And so I had to kind of talk to them about that. And, you know, but luckily we didn't really have a lot of issues, kind of big ones. Unfortunately, anytime you do these shows, there's drama. Whether you want it or not, like either internally, externally, or both, it goes with the beast. I remember one of our last ones we did. A friend of mine was there, and he was reselling. He had a bunch of stuff of his art for sale, and he had stuff, a bunch of stuff for resale, and a local artist, regional artist. Because it's so funny, because people want to be so dramatic. They had someone out looking around kind of and keep an eye on stuff and saw this guy's work. And this guy contacted me, threatening me and stuff, and saying that this dude I knew was selling bootlegs. It's just crazy, 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 crazy stuff. And it's just like kind of like, this is kind of, you know, the more people you're dealing with, the more you're going to run into this. You know, just beyond the guests that cancel and tertiary guests that are kind of regional that like just don't think it's worth their time or they get busy or whatever. It's just, it's a lot. And I admire the heck out of folks that can keep going, knowing that there's not necessarily a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Like that you're not gonna get rich, you're not gonna get famous. You're doing it for the love of it. And it's amazing, but this kind of stuff can wear on you to such a degree that love wanes and it dies. And love don't pay the bills, as they say. And it's a drag. It's a drag that it has to be that way. I mean, that's just how humans are, is that the more bureaucracy there is, the more we kind of get caught up in it. And everybody has to have their thing. Everybody wants their thing. They have to, you know, they have to be catered to. And in the end, it just, everybody kind of, you know, loses out. And it stinks. Like I said, it's a drag. Because the fans are the ones that lose out, and the people that started the thing, whatever it is. Because they were there to be, you know, at the beginning. And they're at the end to pull the tents down. And all of that stinks. And I say that as someone who like put these shows on. And I've always missed us doing conventions, because that was so, like, such a fun thing. And it, like, being able to do that and knowing that you're creating memories for fans. Even if everybody isn't interested in what you're putting on, the ones that do come and that make memories that you'll never even be a part of or you know what they were, like, it's great. It was funny because for me, after every show, I was like, I'm done, I'm never doing it again, because I was just so burned out. And that's, you know, that's kind of my makeup, unfortunately, is I'm just that kind of a weirdo. But I think we take for granted all of these kind of event things that we love, that they're just going to be there forever, you know, whether we go or not, whether we support it or not. And, you know, and it's not like these aren't generally charities. So it's, you know, we can't make it to everything. We can't support everything. We can't love everything. And we shouldn't ever feel responsible to do that. But the stuff that moves us, the stuff that makes us feel like we should support and we should kind of make sure to show, like, that the people that do it appreciation, because it's a very thankless job that isn't a job. And I marvel that in this day and age that we still kind of have independents that are out there doing the thing, from art shows to, you know, music shows or anything else. And again, you'll find, like, you know, a lot of them are creatives themselves, like a band that wants to play shows and, like, well, they need other bands. They can't, you know, they can get a date, but the venue will be like, well, cool, you got other people that can play with you, because that's how this is going to work. So you have to go and, you know, make a show, and you didn't necessarily intend to. The art group I was a part of back in the day, that's what it began as, was a bunch of band guys, essentially wanting to promote bands and shows and stuff. And so they all kind of got together, and then all of us artsy weirdos, you know, kind of joined up, and everything kind of evolved from there. And that's how that happens. You know, filmmakers will get together and put on a film festival, you know, because they want to get more eyes on their work, and they know how hard it is. And you know, we did a lot of book shows, because, you know, a few of us were authors, and it's like, well, we want to get our stuff in front of people, and we want to help other people get their stuff in front of people. So why don't we kind of all work together on an event and put this out and get people, you know, kind of pool our resources. And so that's, you know, it's how a lot of this starts. You know, and you'll the big, like I say, the big shows, it's a little different. You know, people have connections, people have a comic book store, and they have, like I say, the connections, and they kind of do that. It's sad because you're not seeing small shows, really small shows, and even kind of smaller mid-range shows. It's either a giant show or a medium-sized show. And that's too bad, because there's a lot of creatives, a lot of artists that can't afford it. Like, I know I can't afford it anymore. And I think I might even mention this in the last podcast I did. The idea, like, our local big con, Comic Con, the Motor City Comic Con, is 400-ish, or more, like around 400 or more for a table, for just, and I'm just like, it might be a little less, I can't remember. I just remember, like, I know how much my books sell for, and how many books I would have to sell to, quote unquote, make table. That's what you always would talk to people. It's like, oh, have you made table? Or like, oh, how you doing? Oh, I've made table. Or, oh, I haven't made table yet. When you talk to folks, and, you know, and doing the shows, that's how they would judge the convention kind of monetarily, is just like, have they paid for themselves to be there? Are they near it? And they go from there. So I just, yeah, it's a shame, because there's so many people that they don't live off their art. It's their avocation. It's their fun. They want to get it out. It's good. It's valuable. But it's not something that they can just jump off of the bridge and hope there's something in the water to catch them, and kind of leave their job for. And by losing all of these small shows, we lose we lose a lot of opportunities like that. And yeah, there's all kinds of online markets, and there's Etsy, and you can have a website, and blah, blah, blah. But imagine going into a, you know, I always look at it with my books, like you're going into a library, not even just a small, like a giant, like the Library of Congress, a giant library. And you have to find a book by someone you've never met, never heard of, that's going to appeal to you somewhere in the stacks. That's the internet. And like, how are you going to find it? You know, so these little shows, I would always get a bump on my site just as soon as, like, just from being a part of the show. They, like, they'd list who you are and stuff, and my hits on my site would go up just from that. Just people wanted to know who the heck I was. And it helped. Like, I don't know that it got me any sales, but, that recognition helps because it gets people, you know, they know your name. They know kind of what you do. And so maybe, you know, they'll come looking for you. And we're strangling that out of everything by being so selfish and greedy and dodgy, frankly, and just not maintaining. Like, oh yeah, I'm part of this thing. I just kind of trying to hook up. You know, it's just sometimes you got to ask why you're doing it. Why are, and that's something, if you do these things, you should always check in with yourself, frankly, and ask yourself why you're doing it. And if it's not for the joy anymore, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. You know, and that goes from the top to the bottom. And, you know, the people in charge probably should look at the people they have on staff or volunteering in the same, mentally ask the question, why are they here? Like, are they here because they love what we're doing? Or are they here for other reasons? And even if they're valuable, like, maybe it's time to just part ways. Well, friend, it's time for us to part ways as well. I will return. I am the only, the one, and something. I don't know. I said the only, and I said one and only. It's just redundant. My name is Chris Ringler. This is my wee little podcast. You can find out all about me and my books and my podcast and such at spookychris.com. Friend, I will talk to you soon. Be well.